Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer the queries, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. Well, today in our studio, we have with us very talented expert. She is Sister Salma Khalafan, and the more I talk about her, it is less indeed. Well, she's an expert in Islamic upbringing, and today we have had this pleasure to invite her, and we're going to discuss some of the very important issues, especially regarding the teenagers, with her today. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, Sister Salma Khalfan, you have been helping us with some very important issues about the teenage that the children face with, that the parents need to be taking into consideration. And in the previous episode, we discussed some of the very important issues, like parents should be, first of all, stopping the expectation that their teens should behave the same way that the way they have behaved themselves as teens. And even if they want to think this way, they should be feeling how they should be thinking, how they felt lonely, or where they wanted someone to talk to as they were young. Now they should not let anyone else, the friends or outsiders, to be talking to their teens. They should themselves be the first persons being very friendly to their teens, and their presence is more important, their concern is more important, and they should understand the silence, the changes that are developing in a teenager. So what more kind of things parents should be taking into consideration while upbringing the teenagers?
Yes, there are three elements that need to be considered whilst bringing up the child, the teenage child, and in fact all the children, but more so I think when you're passing through that phase of teenage, how you need to behave. One is the patience. Parents need to have a lot of patience. And that reaps a lot of benefits also, because in the process, you're also growing. The mother is also having tarbiyah, or the father is also getting that upbringing, the tarbiyah. It's a beautiful process. Allah has made this parenting child upbringing in a way that both the parents and the child benefit. So the parents have a lot of reward, of course, but disregarding that, she or he grows in the process, becomes more perfect, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them.
Right.
So what is sabr that should be there whilst dealing with your teenage children? You'll see them being aggressive, being moody, you know, all these kind of phases, no one to talk to anyone. They, you know, they misbehave sometimes, or they are very angry at home with their siblings or things like that. Well, you should really know how to deal with them, Not, the first step should not be strictness at all. The first step is like Amr bil Maruf, how you explain an adult, you respect an adult.
Inviting them towards
towards the truth with politeness. Then when you see that they're not listening, then you become a bit more firm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like as a parent, you're a guardian, you can now have rules of strictness. So all this is like one step at a time. Child, you can't do that.
Strictness should not be the first thing that should be
friendly
from.
With child.
Right.
But teenage is an adult. So the rules of Amr bil Maruf apply also to that teenage.
Right.
Another element is the continuity. That's very important. Like the Holy Prophet's hadith that says the first 7 years, then the second 7 years, and then the third 7 years. It's not like a stop.
Right.
After the first seven, the the way it changes.
The root of your tarbiyah upbringing.
Exactly.
Changes.
The first 7 years is the master.
King.
The second is the servant. Yeah. And the third is like the wazir. The advisor, yes. The third 7 years is like the advisor.
Right.
So there should be a continuity. It's not as if now, you know, like my son is grown up. He's now 14. I should leave him. He is now mature.
Right.
He knows. He may appear to know so much. He may appear to be very responsible. But that does not make him needless, because there wouldn't be a tradition like so that,
true,
you know, treat them in such a manner.
Yeah.
Because they still need to grow. They still need to be more experienced.
Yeah.
They still need to become better as human beings.
Right. Well, sister, I'll be discussing more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. We have Sister Salma Khalfan with us, who is an expert in the Islamic upbringing and an Islamic scholar. And we have had this pleasure to be with her today. And Sister is helping us to understand some of the elements parents need to be taking care of while they are dealing with the teenagers. Yes, Sister.
So that there was a third element that I did mention, and that is the methodology of bringing up the child. Methodology in the sense that the first 7 years, and I mentioned it, was that he is like a master. So you should not make him like he's your servant.
Okay.
You know, like we feel that they are at our service, like we should, whatever we tell them, they have to sab'an wa ta'atan. They have to believe us.
All right.
Unquestioningly. Or if a small child misbehaves, what audacity does he have? No, that's not the case.
Right.
He's a child. And we are, he's our master. If he tells us, I want this, bring me, and it's so near him, we should still be at the service, because it's not something dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So that they will learn how to be a good master.
All right.
See, when we teach the mastership out of the 7 years, that they will learn how to be a good master.
All right.
And that's when the 2 years come, that when he's like now a servant for us and we are the master.
Yeah.
But we usually sometimes mix that up, you know. We sometimes, all through, we probably want them to be our servants, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even make them our advisor. We feel they're too young.
They're too young.
Just imagine when they're 15 years old and you ask for advice from them.
Yeah.
For example, you want to make a trip, a family trip. What do you think? Feel no. The father is like feeling that he's the boss. Whatever I say, I'll do it.
Sometimes the father does not even feel like sharing that with the mother or the family.
Yes, yes. And that's wrong. You know, these family discussions bring a family together.
Right.
And that feeling
create a
of
strong
unity,
bond.
It remains.
Yeah.
And that care and concern. When the parents grow old, then they reap the benefits of all this. If they show continuity of all these methodologies, they apply them properly, then even the child will apply that, that he knows that when their parents have grown old, they need the care and attention of the child.
Right.
And the child will give it right away.
Right.
And with so much, you know, sincerity too. So that continuity should be there.
And the
methodology also
should
be applied. Last but not least, in this question, I would like to add that dua is a very important factor. It's very necessary, but it's not enough, you know, because dua for the children, like every day we have to do it. As parents, it just is in the heart of a parent or a mother to pray for the child every single day. I feel in every kunut also, probably, the parents might be praying for the children.
True.
And it's not something that is unusual.
Yeah.
It's just there in the fitrat, in the innate disposition of a parent to want the goodness of the child selflessly.
Yeah.
Whether the child gives them back something or not.
Yeah.
At that time, it's least considered, because the child can't give something, anything back, right?
Yeah,
when they're small. Yeah. So the expectations come when the child has grown up.
So are you trying to say that these du'as, these applications that the parents make should be louder, or the children should be listening? Maybe they feel better or...
Yes, that is there, of course. They should make it in a very beautiful way, listening louder every day. But what I want to mention here is it enough? No, it's not enough. Okay. The struggle should be there. Like, somebody came to ask Ayatollah Bahjat that just give me some dua that my tawaz becomes better, more focused and things like that. So Ayatollah Bahjat says, no, this is not dua-i, it's dawa-i. It's something that is, you need to take a step and a struggle for it.
Okay.
So it's the same way here. This right. is not something that is just dua-i. You can do however much hundreds of
it's
duas and cry.
It's not something limited to the supplication. You got to be acting on some
yes.
of the things.
Yes,
I'll be course. Asking you a little more detail on that after a short break. The listeners, stay tuned.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Sister Salma Khalfan today with us. And Sister has been giving us some of the very important advices that we as parents need to be taking into consideration while dealing with a teenager. And Sister said that we should be taking into consideration the ages the children are going through. If they have the first 7 years of tarbiyah, it should not stop there as you treated them as masters or kings. It should be continuing. There should be a continuity. Then they should be treated as servants. You should be making them responsible, taking out work from them, and then you should be making them as advisors, even if you feel that's you don't even need their advices. But discussions are something, Sister said, that they make a family stronger and hold that bond together. Well, Sister, after continuation, you said there's methodology and you were giving us some more useful details.
Yes. Of course, the methodology is like what to treat them like. The first method is to treat them like they are your masters, and then you are their masters, and then lastly, you seek advice from them. But that doesn't mean a father has to seek advice on every matter, of course. What concerns the family, that's what I meant. Because,
right.
of course, the age of the child is less, right?
Yeah. Even after these methodological processes, you said there is dua
yes.
parents should be making for their children, but that's not enough. So what else is to be done in addition to the supplications?
Yeah, what I meant here is that all these things need to be applied. So dua is not enough, and there are very many duas I'd like to mention and that are key duas. And with that, if the dua is accepted, know that Allah ignites that capability for you to struggle.
Okay.
So it's not something that, you know, like you feel dua is accepted and hey, it comes from the, you know, sky and it's done. You see like a miracle happen. No. It's
sometimes you grow up.
Tawfiq, yeah. You get to act.
Yeah.
According to it. Every dua is like that for that matter.
Ability.
So, yeah, every dua is like that. So you do dua, suddenly you get a thought, why don't I do this? You get that motivation to do something.
All right.
So dua propels the motivation. So some of the key duas that I'd like to share with my listeners is the dua for children by Eid Saifa Sajadia. It's a very beautiful dua. It's just, I think, 2 pages dua.
Okay.
And mainly here, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam first addresses that, we want long life for children and the betterment of this world and the hereafter, everything. You know, all the good things that are there. We should, in fact, look through the dua and read it every day. It's very beautiful. And then he mentions about shaitan. A lot of things about shaitan that prevent me from, being beguiled by shaitan's insinuations and all this, a whole page.
Yeah.
And you wonder, where did shaitan fit here? Shaitan fit here because we get beguiled very easily with our children.
Right.
Not only in our relationship with our children, but in our feelings for our children.
In the process of upbringing entirely.
Yes, we forget that, we have a Lord to answer to. Or we over-treat the child, we spoil them. We don't. Oh, we get so much attached to
treat
the child.
Treat him as our property, our own property.
That's right.
Like, otherwise, we forget the fact that a child is an amanat.
Amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Yes, that we have to return. So that's very important. And, you know, in the end, it's so beautiful that what we have asked for ourselves and our children, we want it for kul mu'minin wal mu'minat.
Wow.
So that's very nice. It brings you happiness.
Out of that selfless. Out of that shows you that selflessness.
Yeah. That you want every detailer. And when you see the details that are mentioned are very beautiful.
Right.
As far as the bodily needs are concerned, the intellectual needs are concerned, everything we want them to be in order, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also some du'as that are very beautiful before we end our talk.
Yeah.
Is, for example, Qur'ani du'as, they're very beautiful. For example, Surah Furqan, there's this ayat that word of the Ma'asumeen used to recite in their qunut every day. Rabbana hablana bil azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yuni waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. You know, like, give me Lord.
Yeah.
Give me and my hablana min azwajina. Give me a gift, you know. Hablana wahab, like, and with azwajina from our spouses, wadhurriyatina and our children, kurrata ayn, make them the coolness of our eyes.
Coolness for our eyes.
Wajalla lil muttaqina imama, and make them imam for the pious ones.
Nice.
Imam, the leader for the pious ones.
Wow.
It's a great dua. And indeed, many other duas that we need to research around.
Inshallah. Thank you so much, sister, for those beautiful duas and such a beautiful discussion. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way.